I wasn't sure where I wanted to share this video, so I'm going to play it right now as we sang Psalm 23 and before we begin.
One more time.
Oh, one.
Heard that the sheep only follow the voice of their shepherd, but I had never really looked at an example of it. And something else I noticed as I watched this a couple times last night and watching it again this morning, we just saw one perspective of the person that was filming it. How often do we live life that way with just our perspective, having no idea what God is doing and calling others to himself, possibly to join us and to us as well. And how much greater when we respond as those sheep did to come to him, that we see we are not alone. And it's not just our shepherd with us, but our brothers and sisters as well. So I want to share again, even as we just sang it, I want to read the words of Psalm 23 again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Join me as we begin this morning. Lord, you are our shepherd. You are the one who guides and leads and directs our every step. And Lord, you still let us go where we want and not follow you. But that doesn't stop you from pursuing us and calling us back to you so that we can always hear your voice and run to you. Lord, I thank you for these words from David in his psalm, and the words that you put in each of our hearts and the ways in which you move in our lives, that we can know you more and trust in the knowledge of your voice when you call us. Holy Spirit, I pray for tangible experiences with you today, not just with this message, but with our fellowship together with one another and with you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, maybe it's going to work. Oh, I know why. As we heard in that psalm, today's title, Jesus is our shepherd. I think Psalm 23 is one of those psalms that people know it whether they've ever read the Bible or not, or they've heard iterations of it, of what it means to pay attention to being provided for, to being taken care of. And for as much as we know it, do we pay attention when we read it? And as with all things, this is not a do you pay attention, but do we, have I paid attention to what I read, to where God has led me? The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Full stop. And yet how often is our next thought or comment, well, but God, I want. Well, what if you could just do this in my life? Or, well, why did so-and-so get that? And how come I didn't get this because I really wanted it? The Lord is our shepherd. We have what we need. Do we thank him for that before we ask for more? Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And yet, even in his resurrected body, Jesus had to tell the disciples, don't be afraid. Because they were. Because we are. And we can maybe say that we fear no danger, but we fear the unknown or the what ifs or the uncertainties that comes with this broken life and experiences with broken people. And when we don't understand something, or perhaps we know that we cannot change a circumstance or make it go faster or be done with it and on the other side of it. And so we fear the length of that trial or that struggle or that journey. But even when we go through the darkest valley, we have no need to fear because God is with us. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Only goodness and mercy. And yet the first moment or sign of an inconvenience or something going wrong or a slight we felt has been done to us, Lord, why did that happen? I thought you were with me. We don't pay heed to perhaps the choices we've made or how we're impacted by the choices that others make as well in this broken world. Being inconvenienced or suffering doesn't negate the truth of Psalm 23, that God is with us and has given us all we need. That is a truth to believe in and hold on to in the midst of suffering and brokenness and struggle. And that final line, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Other translations say forever. I hadn't thought about it much until I was reading through it this week that it's the Lord's house, not mine. I don't get to choose who enters in that doorway or lock it to keep others out. I can't take names off the guest list of God who he welcomes into his home, his dwelling. And yet I still try, Lord, let me help you with this list. Do you really know this person that you're letting in to dwell in your house? Sure, people could say the same about me. And yet we still try. We look at what makes others not acceptable to God's house without seeing the ways in which we have been given grace and mercy to go into the Lord's house with praise. David is the one who shared this psalm with us. He shared it in the knowledge and truth, knowing that he was anointed by God, chosen, and that he was overflowing with grace and mercy and love from the Lord. He knew that God renewed him, provided safety and refuge and comfort. We know David as a man after God's own heart, and he still was broken. He still chose at times to seek what he wanted, not being satisfied with what God had already given him, all that he needed, all that was provided. So it's here that we start, for today at least, in looking at Jesus as our great shepherd. What does that mean? What can that give to us or provide as we move forward in our daily lives, as we seek to hear the voice of our shepherd? I know I've doubted sometimes that my hearing is good enough to hear him because I've let so much get in the way. And yet God says, even that, he speaks louder than. My doubt isn't enough to keep me from hearing the voice of God. He will be heard, and he will pursue us with goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. So we'll be in John 10, the first 10 verses today. And as we shared or heard from Jeff Brodnix this morning in Speaking of Life, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd and the Gate for the Sheep. And we'll look through those both a little bit today. Creator Sets Free told this story to the separated ones, the Pharisees, for they were blind guides, leading the tribes of wrestles with Creator, Israel, down a false path to a bad end. I speak from my heart, Creator Sets Free said to the blind tribal leaders. Thieves and outlaws do not use the gate to the sheep pen, but sneak in some other way. But the shepherd uses the gate to enter. The sheep know their shepherd's voice, for he calls each one of them by name, and they follow him as he leads them in and out of the sheep pen. The sheep will not follow the voice of a stranger. They will run away, for they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Because he was using a story to teach them, Creator Sets Free could see that they did not understand. So he told them the meaning of a story. And you can guess these Pharisees weren't shepherds or farmers, and they looked down upon shepherds. So it's no surprise that they didn't quite understand Creator Sets Free as he shared with them. I speak again from my heart, he said. I am the gate for the sheep. All who put themselves before me are thieves and outlaws, false shepherds. My sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate for the sheep. The ones who enter by me will be safe and well cared for. Following the shepherd, they will go in and out and find good food to eat. Thieves enter only to take away life, to steal what is not theirs, and to bring to ruin all they cannot have. I have come to give the good life, a life that overflows with beauty and harmony. I've never been a shepherd either. And the more I learn about them, and I was going to say the work that they do, but simply the life that they choose to live, because it is their livelihood and their lifestyle, I appreciate more and more this image of Jesus as my shepherd, as our shepherd, our provider, our caretaker. Psalm 23 spoke of pastures, flowing quiet waters, and rest. I know I don't go to God for that enough. And yet, when we read about David's story as a shepherd, he conquered bears and lions to protect his sheep. We sang the song earlier, the lion and the lamb. Jesus, as our shepherd, does defeat darkness and great enemies with great power for our sake. And he leads us to stillness and quiet and peace and rejuvenation. Jesus, as our shepherd, is fierce and gentle, and only he can do that perfectly. And we can know and trust in both his fierceness and his gentleness. And we see Jesus once again using imagery given in the Old Testament, shared from the beginning of God's time as calling Israel his people. He was the shepherd of Israel. And he called out anyone who put themselves above or before him, because they were going to be judged and face condemnation by God. Jesus calls the Pharisees blind guides. He likens them to thieves and robbers trying to take what isn't theirs and lead them astray. Thieves are often separate. In the First Nations version, they called them thieves and outlaws, but we hear thieves and robbers, and I think of those words as interchangeable, but thieves were often those who broke in to something to steal. Robbers were the ones, the bandits, the outlaws, that lived in the wilderness and waited to assault or take from people as they crossed paths with them. But whatever you call them, they took from the abundance that God gave others for their own selfish and personal gain. They also had been given all that they needed from God, but they chose instead to take what wasn't theirs. So it's no wonder that we're fearful when we think of thieves and robbers and coming across them in our lives, because we don't know how we would handle that happening to us. So we want to build better sheep pens, have more security, higher fences, more guards, carry with us protection to keep us safe, because we've already forgotten the first line of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Rather than first seeking those quiet waters and the sustenance and nourishment of green pastures that God provides, we assume that the ways we can defend ourselves is better, that we have to defend our turf and our possessions, and we can do it better and quicker than God does. I guarantee we do it differently than he does. But do we rest in knowing he has given us all we need? And when we hear these words in John 10 from Jesus, and we read this example, he has come to give us abundant life, do we hear what Jesus is trying to teach? Do we learn what he is teaching, not just with this story, but with his own life and ministry? Jesus is obedient. He is following the God who loves his people. Just as Israel, the sheep of God in the Old Testament, they followed the law of God and so were obedient to their master, to their shepherd. The New Testament calls us to treat others with love as Jesus did. Not because they're going to return love automatically, but because that's the law of God is love. That to the best of our ability, we love. And we can only do it better as we follow the voice of our shepherd, as we are obedient to living the way of life that God is leading. Think about for a moment, we're fearful, so we try to bulk up our security. Jesus could easily have defended himself against any of the false teachers and prophets, of thieves and robbers that came across his path that took his life. And yet he chose to be obedient to the Father, to follow the will of God, to death upon a cross, so that we will have all we need. Abundant life. Eternity with him. Because he wanted all humans to know they are loved beyond measure. And notice, Jesus doesn't use this teaching to make his followers feel better. He doesn't say, oh, and don't worry, I've given you all you need, and I'll keep the thieves and robbers away. No. He confirms that there are going to be thieves and robbers trying to get into his sheep pen, trying to take from others what he has given and provided. But rather than focusing on what brokenness is there, he reminds the Pharisees, his followers, and us today that no thief or robber can take what God has abundantly given to us. The abundance that Jesus has brought to us in the kingdom of God through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. We cannot be removed from the kingdom of God. We cannot be kept out by thieves or robbers who try to take us away from our shepherd. There's another thing I've heard over the years and even preached a time or two about how sheep are kind of dumb animals, right? You think, oh, they don't even know what they're doing. That's why they get lost. And, you know, but when we liken sheep to humans, I don't like that analogy as often, because I don't think we're kind of dumb. We do kind of dumb things sometimes. But I liked the imagery as I looked at the obedience that Jesus showed. And as I read through a commentary that said sheep are considered among the most obedient of animals. What if it's not about them being simple creatures, but obedient creatures to their shepherd? Those who are truly Jesus' sheep, those of us who seek and trust in and try to live in a covenant relationship with God, we know him. And with his help, we can be obedient to every step we take. And as we heard in the passage, it is said that shepherds often know each sheep by name, whatever name they have given. All of those sheep in that pasture looked just about exactly the same to me. How often do we hear that from kids? Oh, you look like so-and-so, or you're exactly the same, or you look just like this person. And yet God knows us by name. Individually, uniquely, he knows you and calls you by name. And there's another little tidbit in the commentary. It says some shepherds would even train their sheep to respond to the signals of particular flute melodies. And that made me think of the songs that God has given to us. Through the psalms and hymns in the scriptures, but also the songs written and shared throughout history. The ways in which we respond to the words of God, to the worship of him through song. He has made us and trained us to respond to him through his voice and through music. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not the greatest of singers. But I am moved by many worship songs of the love that God has for me. And when I respond to those messages, I experience the presence and the comfort and the peace that God brings in that moment to me. So I think from now on, I'm going to look at sheep not as just simple, kind of dumb animals, but obedient creatures to their shepherd, because they know and trust that they have all they need. Sure, they might want to go to a different pasture to get what they want, or they'll get lost along the way, but their shepherd comes for them. Just as our shepherd comes for us when we seek what we want instead of live in what we have already been provided. Because we are obedient and we can be responsive to the voice of our shepherd and to his praises. I want to read again the ending of verse 6 into verse 10. About Jesus as being the gate. I speak again from my heart. I am the gate for the sheep. All who put themselves before me are thieves and outlaws, false shepherds. My sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate for the sheep. The ones who enter by me will be safe and well cared for. Following the shepherd, they will go in and out and find good food to eat. Thieves enter only to take away life, to steal what is not theirs, and to bring to ruin all they cannot have. I have come to give the good life, a life that overflows with beauty and harmony. Jesus is our shepherd and the gate. And notice, even as Jeff shared, it's an open gate. It's not meant to limit or control us, but it is rather there to protect us from the thieves and robbers and the false prophets who seek to take us from him. And again, when we are obedient to Jesus and we know that we can come and go and find what we need where we venture, there's freedom in obedience to God. Because we don't have to worry or wonder if we're going to have the food we need or the shelter that we need, because we are well cared for and provided for. Sheep trust their shepherd because he has given them all they need. And I love the way Jesus kind of bookends this description of the gate. First, reminding and telling these Pharisees, these false teachers, what we can gain from following him. They will be safe and well cared for. They're given nourishment and good food to eat and freedom to come and go and live life. He warns that there are still thieves and robbers present. They're going to be there. So don't be surprised when you find them in your life or when they come upon you in this life, in this brokenness for a time. They have an end, but until then, watch out for them. So he gives us first nourishment, a warning about those who seek to take it, and then ends with a promise of not just a good life, but abundant life. Overflowing with beauty and harmony. He gives freedom and beauty and harmony. It may be hard to find that in the news or in the world today, but I bet when we answer the call of our shepherd's voice and go to the green pastures and the quiet waters and rest in him, we'll see it, we'll be reminded, and we can rejoice and praise with him for the good that is in our lives, that does surround us, even as thieves and robbers try to take it from us. And instead of being fearful of them and their presence around us, we are at peace. We have comfort. Because no matter our circumstances, our shepherd is with us and protects us. Jesus has come for our good. And with his teachings and his life, he shows us how to live in this world that sometimes causes us to suffer. Being obedient to the voice of the Lord. Trusting not in our own strength or wisdom or what we know or the power that we think we have or our own sense of justice. But rather, Jesus reminds us to trust in God's judgment and his perfect plan to reconcile all creation to himself. We don't know what all is entailed in that plan. We do know he's invited us to participate with him in it. And we know the Lord is our shepherd, and we have what we need. Jesus cares for us, shelters us, lives abundantly within us and around us, surrounding us with beauty and harmony. In this season of Easter and of spring, we see new life. We see the beauty in flowers and colors and baby birds and butterflies all around us. And it's in this place of abundance that God wants us to grow, wants us to live, not fearful and hiding in this pen, but going through the gate of Jesus with freedom to proclaim our joy and praise for all that we have been given and the life that we live with him. Learning to live as Christ and to love like Christ. We talk a lot and pray about laying our burdens and our pain and our injustice and our hurts at the foot of the cross. And that can be hard to do, but when we do that and then lift our eyes to that cross, to remember the pain and the suffering and the brokenness that Jesus took on for us, we can trust that he is our good shepherd. He is with us and knows when we are suffering, when we are hurting, and when we need comfort. And we can look with that perspective at the cross and know that we are loved beyond measure, unconditionally. And so may we seek this transformation in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds daily. Every moment when we recognize that perhaps we've turned inward again, trying to protect what is ours, or we turn towards our pain because we don't want anybody else to touch it and have it hurt more, or we think that if we cover it up, we can't hurt anymore. May we hear the voice of our shepherd and release it to our healer and protector and receive comfort and abundance in place of the pain. And may we try to always love as Jesus loves. No matter how many times we fail to do that, no matter how many times our love is rejected, no matter how many times we suffer at the hands of thieves and robbers and outlaws, may we try again and again to love as Jesus loves and obediently follow the voice of our shepherd. Listening for that voice and knowing that even in the wilderness, He guides us to green pastures and quiet waters to give us rest, leading us to all that we need. Join me as I pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us all we need. And you often give us many of the wants that we have or the desires of our hearts because of your love for us. And that you help us to grow closer to you through the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us. Father, we thank you for the love that you give and all of the provisions and this life that we get to live abundantly with you. In Jesus' name, amen.